Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, fewer people are being diagnosed with and dying from colorectal cancer. That's the good news. But blacks are still more likely to die from the disease than whites, and the gap is actually getting bigger. We'll ask why in just a few minutes. But first, more on the country's economic troubles. The Commerce Department today reported a steep drop in the construction of new homes. New home starts suffered their biggest drop in more than two decades. It's just another symptom of the housing market's decline. Home prices were at a record high just 2 years ago. Since then, prices have plummeted, leaving many Americans owning homes that are worth far less than what they paid for them. With us now to talk about all this is William Apgar, professor at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, and he's a former assistant secretary at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also with us to talk about what this means for homeowners is our regular contributor, Alvin Hall, our money coach. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Glad to be here, Michelle, even with the cold today.
Oh, well, we appreciate it. Alvin, let me start with you. As I said, that home prices have fallen something like 19% across the country since they peaked in the spring of 2006. Why is this happening?
First, there was a huge oversupply of building going on in California, Nevada, and Florida, and people assumed that there would be all these people out there to buy this housing, and that was simply not true. Also, people had become very skillful in marketing these houses. In places like Florida and Las Vegas, they would have these huge events surrounding the opening of this new building and these apartments and condos starting out at $2 and $3 million, and people will jump on them. Then the housing bubble burst, and all of a sudden, in addition to all of these people who had bought these new properties, there were all these individuals with properties that were flooding the market that they wanted to sell, and they were willing to sell them at fire sale prices to get out of the market. The next contributing factor was the number of adjustable rate mortgages. When the adjustable rate mortgages began to reset, they couldn't afford the payments, and therefore another wave of houses were put on the market, again at fire sale prices. All of the pressure was downward, driving housing prices lower and lower and lower.
So, Professor Apgar, let's look at it from the other direction. A recent USA Today analysis of home prices since 1950 said that home prices would have to drop another 17% before they could reach, quote, traditional relationship to household income. What does that mean? What is the traditional relationship to household income of price, and why did prices get so high?
Well, you know, a lot of people want to be homeowners. It provides them security, ultimately a nest egg for retirement, and all those good things. But a lot of that got a little bit out of control because, among other things, it was difficult to build new units in many communities because of land use and zoning constraints. Homes were bigger and better, and so they were able to command a better market price. House prices started to go up. And then there set in the elements of the bubble that was spoken about earlier. And those elements were people began to believe that an investment in a house had to be paid off. They started talking about the fact that I'm going to buy a bigger home because it's going to increase in value and make more money. And so once the homeowners began to think in these speculative fashion, they proceeded to continue to press into the market, even though the house price was rising well above what had been traditional income to value relationships. And the enabling factor, of course, of all that was the easy money. It didn't take much income to qualify for a relatively large loan. Lenders allow folks to come in with zero down, zero cash, zero interest payments, and all that enabled folks who ought to have been squeezed out of the market by traditional constraints on terms of ability to pay, just allow them in until we got into this frenzy where in many market areas people were paying five, six times their income in situations where a ratio of three might have been more common between house value and income.
Here's what I don't understand. As Alvin described, that there was just a lot of, I think, what we would now call overbuilding in a lot of areas. And there was also easy credit. So that seems to me that that would push prices downward, Professor Apgar. Why didn't it's worked that way right now in this very short period of time. But why didn't all of that provide a check on home prices up to this point?
Well, builders, of course, seeing folks who are able to qualify for mortgages, hungry for homeownership, wanting to get in, they continue to ramp up their plans to build. And the problem, of course, is the building process is somewhat slow process. So while builders should have been rightfully cutting back, you know, in 2005, 2006, they were going full steam ahead. And then all of a sudden it got to where people couldn't qualify anymore, and the buyers began to evaporate. but the homes kept rolling off the production line, so to speak, producing this enormous overbuilding that put the downward pressure like was described earlier. Then the financing, of course, got tougher as lenders began to realize that many of their loans to borrowers were unsustainable, and so the easy finance went away. And then we, of course, more recently have the weak economy that's adding to the downward pressure and the foreclosures coming out. And so it's just a classic case of overshooting the mark, as often happens. In this instance, the home building industry overshot by a lot.
Is this a problem nationally, Professor Apgar? Is this really something that varies from market to market?
It is a problem nationally because, of course, there's so many foreclosures that it's affecting broad credit markets that affect all aspects of American economy. But in terms of the housing side, obviously it's very intense, the states that were named, Florida, Nevada, California, and the like. But there are a few states that are completely immune from the fall in house prices. They're falling dramatically. And what's contributed to that is even people who aren't hit by the foreclosure problem, even people that aren't hit by the soft market, are saying, well, maybe now's not a good time to buy. And so the demand is really pulling back because people are just nervous about the economy and nervous about home prices.
Is this, Alvin, the kind of thing where we've talked about this before, that what may be best for you as an individual is not what's best for the economy overall? As an individual,
absolutely,
it's better for people to be as conservative as possible, to stop using home equity lines for consumer consumption, for example, to hunker down and wait to see what happens. But the economy needs people to get back out there and buy. What's the answer
yes
to this?
Well, there is no perfect answer. When you hear the politicians talk about this, they say we want to stimulate people to go out and buy property so that the value of the homes will be sustained and start to rise again. That will build confidence. But at the same time, individuals have to look at their financial reserves, how much money they have, and to see whether they can afford to take the risk of buying the property. So getting the balance right is very difficult for the government. And by focusing on house prices, I think the government is doing the right thing, but they need to combine that with job security, because no matter what house prices fall to, if people do not feel secure about their income and their jobs, they're not going to buy a house.
Professor Apgar, we just have a minute or so left. What do you think, as we were discussing with Alvin, the individual consumer is being rational and saying, I need to wait and see what happens before I get involved in this roller coaster, but the economy needs people to go out and buy and sort of stabilize. So what do you recommend? What do you think is an appropriate course of action for the government to take?
Everyone has to do what's best for them, and that's particularly in a local situation. But, you know, what consumers can do, of course, is watch, because there are starting to be some bargains out there, and they have to make the calculation, especially people who don't own a house now. I mean, one of the big engines of recovery is the fact that every year there's 1,500,000 new households. There's kids graduating from college. They have jobs, maybe not as rosy as 2 years ago, but they have good income. And for them, the question is, when is the right time to enter the market? The problem, of course, is knowing when the market's hit the bottom. There will be a time in which this market will hit bottom, and there could be quite a nice recovery.
And finally, Professor, President-elect Barack Obama has just named his choice for housing secretary. Should he be confirmed, what do you think his first priority should be?
Well, I think for housing, dealing with this foreclosure issue, dealing with the home price issue is job number one. And HUD, of course, has a big role because of its presence through its engagement in communities across the country and working on that neighborhood-by-neighborhood, block-by-block kind of programmatic response.
Alvin, what do you say to that?
My thinking is the government needs to draw a clear distinction between primary mortgages, the mortgages that people own on the houses in which they live, and all these speculative mortgages, like the lady featured on 60 Minutes this week, who had six different properties out there. But when it's somebody's a primary residence, then I think the government needs to step in and stabilize the foreclosures on those. I think that when somebody has been out there buying multiple properties, hopefully trying to become a rental landlord, they live with the consequences of their actions.
Financial expert Alvin Hall is Tell Me More's money coach. He joined us from New York. William Apgar is a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He's also a former assistant secretary at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. He was kind enough to join us from his home in Newton, Massachusetts. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Now, you know that at Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. You just heard from our experts about the housing market. Now we'd like to hear from you. How have falling home prices affected you? Have they affected the community where you live? Are you a prospective home buyer who's out looking for bargains? Are you staying in a home that you want to sell but can't? And even if you plan to stay in your house, has the drop in home values caused you to rethink your finances? To tell us more, visit our website at the Tell Me More page at npr.org, or you can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522. Please remember to tell us your name and where you live.